It's time for Inside Sports Medicine on 103.3 FM ESPN with your host, Dr. T.O. Soriel, orthopedic surgeon and medical director of Texas Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Group. Get your sports medicine questions ready and call 855-787-1033.
Welcome back to Inside Sports Medicine.
Was that Cry Me a River?
No. I don't think we're doing music yet.
Oh.
So maybe for the next song, the Justin Timberlake version of Cry Me a River. I don't know what that means.
And then the Joe Cocker version.
Yeah. I'm just doing what they tell me to do.
Totally different.
Welcome back to Inside Sports Medicine. Thank you for joining us today. Lots going on. Supposed to be 100 and some degrees today.
Really?
Supposed to play golf tomorrow. It's supposed to be 104 with a heat index of 112. So I don't
Goodness
think I'm
gonna... gracious.
You might want to play early.
Yeah. Well.
Or
yeah.
just not play.
Or not play. Or not play. So we have a lot to finish up. We've had a healthy and lively discussion on KP's knee and what all the hidden meanings are and what the expectations are of him. And also we were talking about some of the subtleties that are sometimes lost with physician extenders. Look, each of us at Texas Sports Medicine have an MA, and Scott has an MA, but I use my MA to help me with scheduling tests, and I use her to help me with dressing changes and sutures and that sort of thing. But it is very important for me to take my own history, very important. Because there are descriptors that patients use that mean something to me that may mean nothing to anybody else listening. So, and in a particular case that I outlined this morning, this lady saw some heavyweights. She saw some heavyweights before me and actually asked her, why didn't you come here first? But that was a... anyway. So
that was appropriate.
I thought it was... Well, why am I your fifth opinion? Why am I the fifth opinion and I'm the only one that was right? So anyway,
maybe she went alphabetically.
Well, so the point I was trying to make is she saw heavyweights, and because they are who they are, they have really high volume practices and they have physician extenders. So they probably didn't take their own history, and something got lost in the translation and she continued to have these problems. Well, Mayor Kareem said that sometimes with physician extenders, their level of experience and education is just not what you would expect or is required to pick up some of the subtleties. And about then, Scott picked up the yellow flag and started throwing it around the room. If you were on Facebook, you saw the flag flying everywhere.
Yes.
And we had to go on break. So now, Scott, it is your opportunity to tell us what this flag is about.
What's the penalty for?
What is the penalty?
So the penalty is, and you have accurately described the situation, but of the three of us...
You're a heavyweight. You've got a physician extender.
I have a PA and MA.
Both.
So a PA, which is a physician assistant, which was what Kareem was talking about. And in certain circumstances, if they're a foot and ankle PA, they see the patient, they call a doc and say, hey, I've got a multiple sprained ankle for you to see, probably needs a ligament reconstruction, whatever. So my PA, Jessica, who's been with me almost 20 years.
Oh, yeah.
The first 10 years, we saw the patients together before she started kind of seeing new patients on her own.
Nice.
So she picks up in our lumbar patients, hip pathology, shoulder pathology, and our cervical. So we've kind of gone through that training process. So it's not just, guess what, this person has a herniated disc you need to operate on if their symptoms are coming from hip arthritis. So You're probably correct in your assessment to a point, but in my circumstance, that's not the case.
That's necessary, but I'll tell you why it's easier in your world, because you're starting at the top of the pollution of the river and going down. If you have someone that's got ankle problems, it's hard to be a foot and ankle to then specialize treating to make sure you're looking at low
back.
What
did he just say?
It was an interesting analogy.
What did you just... Pollution of the river.
So,
the pollution, but I understand what you're saying.
If the river's polluted... Where's
it's
the first place
upstream.
You're going to go?
It's going upstream.
Are you
going
to start where you're seeing it and just keep walking until you find the source, or do you just figure out where does it start?
I'm going to the Union Carbide factory.
No, so it's in a way, it's almost easier that if I think it's an easier
transition. I'm calling Aaron Brockovich.
But he also said something subtle, right? Yeah, you can call Aaron Brockovich. She'll help your pollution, get you some money. 10 years. This is over your head.
Where
don't
are
worry.
We going Sarah today? Lost.
10 years, though, of going in the rooms together, which again emphasizes the point that I said. It depends how each physician uses, and we'll just use physician extender. If you use it in that model, that's the model it has to be. For 10 years learning under an expert, okay? That's how you cannot expect coming out of practice, go see patients. And I don't think that the majority of physicians use them that way. Well, at least you hope. But the way medicine's going, it's way more prevalent. It's just, we see a tons of second opinions. And they're like, well, why are you here? Well, I went to this practice and I never saw the doctor. Well, who'd you see? Well, I saw a physician extender. Well, had you ever seen the doctor? No, and I didn't want to do that. Well, it blows my mind that people accept in today's world that that's okay.
Yeah.
That if you make an appointment with a physician, that you don't even see a physician.
Mm.
How is that acceptable? Like, I don't understand that. Like, if I make an appointment with an attorney,
I
want to see the attorney. I'm not going to sit there and have two meetings with the paralegal.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't get it. I don't get how that's, like, acceptable.
It is not.
It's prevalent.
I mean, it is prevalent, but that doesn't make it acceptable. And I agree with him 100%.
Well, how about this? We're at the beginning of your fellowship. You were seeing patients, and you presented them to Dr. Andrews,
mm-hmm.
correct?
Mm-hmm.
Were you as good a doctor at the diagnostician? At the beginning of your fellowship, at the end, same thing. Mm-hmm. You're doing the same thing at the end of the fellowship as you did at the beginning with the same level of trust, probably.
The only difference was I was already an orthopedic surgeon.
Yeah, there you go.
I was adding
but you
another
weren't
layer
a sports
of
there you go.
Specializing in that.
Specialist.
But at that point, you're not. So my fellowship wasn't about how do I take a good history and physical.
Right.
My fellowship was about the technical surgical skills at the highest level of medicine. That's the stuff.
I'm going to do
learned.
Another flag there. We run a accredited fellowship at Texas Back.
So you're going to tell me,
hold on,
before you throw the flag on me, you're going to tell me your fellows come to you guys and when they leave, they don't even do the surgical skills that you taught them, that they do what they did in residency? I'm going to call a flag back on you.
No, I'm saying you're only half the battle there. Half of the battle of a fellowship is honing your surgical skills to a specific specialty. The other half is figuring out, should you be doing it in the first place? Not, can you do a good, you know, ulnar nerve transposition?
Yep.
Is on who should you be doing it? And that's the diagnostic and evaluative skills
that
are just as important in a fellowship as you didn't go to fellowship to learn how to do a better ACL. Maybe that was part of it.
Oh, I did. Oh, I absolutely did.
Okay, but maybe that was part of it. Uh-huh. But part of it is the judgment of taking care of athletes, which is what you do now in your day job.
I like this.
I agree 100%.
Fellowship is just as much learning the technique as learning the
foundational.
Why and the how. You got to have the why and the how.
I agree wholeheartedly with Scott. 100%. I agree that.
But I'm going to make a point of distinction here, and I think we're probably losing our audience. But what Scott is talking about with fellowship training and what Mayer's talking about with fellowship training, and yes, you were already an orthopedist. You already knew how to do in history and physical, et cetera, et cetera. This is not what we're talking about in real world. In real world, you're at the pro level,
mm-hmm.
okay? Somebody, you're getting paid for what you do. You're no longer in training. You're at the pro level. So if I'm going to a professional physician or a professional lawyer, I want to see them. I don't want to see their
paralegal. Like you said.
Paralegal.
Yeah.
So, but unfortunately, this is a reality of the time. This is a reality of the time. We all have 100 stories just like this. A CEO, one of the biggest companies in the country, goes to his primary care and doesn't even see the primary care, sees the PA.
Mm.
And he says, I got knee problems, and the PA misses it. He completely misses it. So he comes to me and he's got an MRI and he goes, what do I do with this MRI? And I said, well, what'd your doctor say? He goes, he never saw it. I said, what do you mean your doctor never saw it? Well, the PA ordered it. Well, I was flabbergasted.
Wait, what?
I was absolutely flabbergasted. So he's coming to me for answers, which should have been answered prior to his visit.
No, so do you realize that, and I know you do, I don't know why I said, do you
rhetorical.
Realize, rhetorical, that say the PA orders a knee MRI, and there is a tumor, and comes to you, and the original doctor who the PA works under never saw it. The doctor is
responsible.
Is responsible. Liable. Is medically legally liable. So
absolutely, I know that.
So. A good PA, which I keep saying I have.
Look, there is exceptions.
We go over everything.
I'm not saying that all MAs are bad. I'm not saying all PAs are inexperienced. We've had PAs on the show who've been working for 30 years, and they're just as experienced as half the doctors that I know.
Yeah.
So there are exceptions to that rule. But in general, and we're talking generalities here, it is a radio show, they don't have 14 years of training.
That's true.
Woo! I'm tired.
Didn't know or the intention that maybe you had to be able to have them shadow you for 10 years and see what it's like to be able to really be a great diagnostician.
But I mean, we're teaching the fellows that right now.
Let's
I mean,
see together.
You know, I saw a spinal stenosis patient for you, Dr. Blumenthal. Well, did you examine their hips? Did you check their pulses?
Yep. Come yep. on.
You got to go, what you said, downriver. Yeah. You need to go downriver, and then we'll
you
talk
need to
about
go
it.
Upriver, yeah.
Yep.
So, yeah.
And look, Scott, you and I have known each other for 40 years, and I have tremendous respect because you and I share the same fundamentals in practice of medicine. This is the right thing to do. And the reason all four of us are in this room is because all four of us share that same guiding principle. We're going to take care of the patient, and the economics are secondary. The economics will take care of themselves later, but we're going to take care of the patients. That's why we went into medicine in the first place. And we're going to give it our best shot. Am I right every time? Heck no. There are occasions when I'm wrong. And there are occasions where every one of us is wrong. This is the part of medicine, the uncertainty of medicine. We started talking about lateral meniscus injuries with KP. And it's funny how we're circling back to this. Each of us in our own way, whether it's Kareem or Brad or Scott or myself, have been burned by something, made the wrong call or missed an obvious diagnosis or whatever. And it's tattooed on our brain,
yeah,
that this will never happen again. Mm-hmm. Well, lateral meniscus injuries burn me, mm-hmm. burn me many times early in my career. And I know every single one of the players, Randy White, Oscar Pereja. I mean, I can go down that list of all the guys. And so I have learned to develop a respect for this injury. That's experience. And there are fifth metatarsal fractures. Mm. I've been burned on those. And it's one of those things where you're going to build up in your careers these sensitivities. And, yeah, you don't want to be burned on doing a herniated disc on someone who's got a bad hip.
Right.
Oh, well, so someone who has not been burned, they're not quite as sensitive. Oh, it's a lateral meniscus tear. Let's just go in there. Let's go in there.
Can I give another pearl to our listeners and viewers?
You want to save it till after the break? This will be a really good tease.
Sure.
A pearl from Scott.
Consumer. Medical consumerism.
Coming right back.